Little old school crew bringing us back on this overcast Wednesday here in Middle Tennessee. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joints. Smoother than smooth. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you. We now head up to Indianapolis. Let's bring in our buddy Dan Dockich, who we always enjoy chatting with. 107.5, the fan up in Indy. Dan, how you doing? Good morning.
Hey, I heard Gary Bettman. I felt like I should boo, right? I mean, as soon as I hear his voice, I feel like everybody's supposed to boo when you hear Bettman. But I'm doing great, man. It's a beautiful day here in Naptown.
It's a conditioned response. It's a conditioned response, for sure.
Dan, when commissioners were talking in front of no one in the arenas, it was weird because they weren't getting booed.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Bettman, boo! You know, it's great. I love it.
Can you confirm or deny that you had any say in Michael Penix not coming to UT and instead going to Indiana? Were you behind that?
All right. I'm willing to say this publicly. You know, me and my rich media moguls put together a package that Michael Penix just couldn't refuse. We got together, Isaiah Thomas, myself. No, I'll be honest with you. I love that he's here, but I don't really follow football recruiting very much, you know, because it's Indiana and it's football, to tell you the truth. But, you know, you're in Tennessee, man. You got to. But I don't. And I remember the coach telling me, you know, hey, Dan, man, we got this kid. And when I first saw him, I thought, God dang, he looked like a stick, you know. But he's gained a lot of weight. And it is fun watching Indiana football. And it is really fun watching Michael Penix, man. He is terrific. He really is.
Well, the reason that was brought up is obviously Tennessee's lost four in a row. Their quarterback situation is a mess. And now there's a tweet that's been circulating that he put out there, I guess, a while back, whenever Jeremy Pruitt was hired, and basically just said, you know, that he was going to decommit because he didn't feel like this new staff really wanted him, which, you know, as you can imagine in these parts, that probably hasn't gone over well when you see how he's playing for Indiana.
Hey, you know, one of the things, I'm so glad I'm not coaching anymore because, all right, so Jeremy Pruitt takes the job. Right? I'm a huge college football fan. It's literally my favorite sport, you know. They're going to hire Shiano. Everybody goes nuts. Jeremy Pruitt takes the job, and everybody's pretty excited. And, you know, you think as an assistant that you're going to come and do, you know, what Saban did. You know, that's who I am. I did the same thing with Bobby Knight. I thought, hell, man, Bowling Green's going to national championship game. I don't give a damn. You know? and then you lose. And that's bad. Like, losing is death, right? So this is what Jeremy Pruitt, I'm telling you, this is what he's going through. Losing is death. Death. You can't sleep. And if you do get to sleep, let's say you wake up to go to the bathroom at 2 in the morning, that sleep is over because it hits you, man. We've lost. And then you lose another. Well, modern coaching is not only am I losing 4 in a row, but, oh, man, now I wake up and there's some tweak from 6 years ago that I got to deal with, man.
Right.
I mean, it's terrible. But Penix is good. I tell you this, Penix. You know, he is a guy that I think in the way, particularly college football, and it seems like the NFL's going. He's a perfect guy, man. He throws it well. He runs it. He's mobile. He's tough as hell, and he leads. I mean, he's a great leader for Indiana.
I feel like I can say this without offending you because it holds true in this market. When we talk about Vanderbilt, when Vanderbilt beats teams they're not supposed to or never have over the years for a long period of time, typically that coach gets fired. So I'm real curious how this plays out in Ann Arbor because I don't think they hired Jim Harbaugh, no respect, to lose to Indiana in football.
No. Oh, look, 1980, like I've coached in Indiana 17 years. I went to every football game that I was in town for. In 1987, I was my first year as an assistant for Coach Knight, and my mother and I, my brother, my sister, I was the only assistant coach, by the way, that lived in the student apartments and had a big keg before the game, but I didn't let Coach Knight know that. And my mom and I, my brother, my sister, my dad, we're all on the field, man. This is 87, so Indiana wins first time since 87, and if you're Jim Harbaugh, and you're making $9 million, and you got all that quirky crap that's great when you're, you know, when you're winning, but you haven't beaten Michigan State but one time. You haven't beat Ohio State ever, and now you're losing to Indiana. And frankly, the game wasn't even close.
Nope.
man, you better hope those ties to your alma mater are so deep that you're dug in, because that's a formula for getting out of there and headed to the pros or somewhere else.
You're right about that. Have you guys figured out yet this week? I know it's just Wednesday. Did you figure out what Philip Rivers fell over in Lucas Oil Stadium? Was it the yellow line? What did he fall over after the interception?
No, he fell over old age. Old age came and said, "No, come on, man, don't embarrass yourself. Look, Philip Rivers can't move on a good day." I mean, he was on my show last week, and we were making fun of it. You know, he owns up to it. And then now you got him going backwards in a huff. He had no shot. And as I said, he should just be happy that the defensive back jumped over him, didn't step on him, and use his chest as a springboard, because that would have been something for all time. But he struggles moving, man. And it's truthfully, you'll see, it's painful to watch when he has to move out of the pocket, because two things. Number one, he really can't move. And number two, you're like, oh, man, this guy's going to get killed by somebody that can move. But no, man, the spirit was there, but old age jumped out of the turf and grabbed him.
See, if I were him, I would have never reached up and still tried to make the attempt. I would have grabbed my leg like something bad happened, like
right.
I popped a hammy or something, a calf. Something went wrong in my leg.
Yeah, like a second baseman. It goes through the wickets, and he looks at his glove. What the hell, glove? What are you doing?
How do you guys, and I know we're going to get into a bunch of stuff with you, but how do you see this tilt on Thursday night between the Titans and the Colts?
Well, for the Colts, you know, I put a poll out. Do you think the Colts are offensive team, defensive team? And it was like 3-1 defensive team. They're a good defensive team. They really are. Their offense, and it's really simple. When Rivers plays well, and it's not when they protect him, because NFL analyst Brian Baldinger put a great 5-minute video out how the Colts protected Rivers. They're just a little bit decimated at wide receiver if T.Y. Hilton doesn't play. And they're playing rookies and free agents, and they're just not on the same page. So, but when Rivers plays well, this is a pretty good football team. The disappointing thing here in Indianapolis is the run game. You know, everybody, and this NFL national media guys, and you guys know this because, you follow the Titans every day. You know what they're really about. And I'm sure sometimes you listen to national media and you're like, what the hell are they talking about? Well, the idea that this Colts offensive line is this great, iconic offensive line is nuts. They can't run the football. They're second worst in the NFL. They're 3.6 yards a carry. They just simply can't run it. And, you know, they drafted Jonathan Taylor to be their guy. And he, you know, everybody tells me, and, you know, from inside the organization, he just misses too many holes. He doesn't see things well. So if Rivers plays well, the defense is good enough, no question. The kicking game is good enough, no question. If Rivers plays well, Colts will have a chance in the game. If he doesn't, they really struggle.
We're talking to Dan Dockich, who is with ESPN Radio 107.5, The Fan, up in Indianapolis. And so, Dan, let's take it a step further. We know that this has been a pretty lopsided head-to-head series over the years, and the two guys that really give the Titans fans night sweats are T.Y. Hilton and Jack Doyle. They're both kind of banged up, but those two guys have made so many big plays against the Titans before. What do you know? I know T.Y. is really trying to get back on the field, but what kind of level are we talking here?
Well, it's funny you say that, because everybody says, you know, T.Y.'s struggling this year. Rivers either can't give him the ball or they're not in sync. Just wait till they play the Titans. He'll be fine.
That's right.
Everybody says that here in town. He's got a groin injury, and as you guys know, man, you know, there's a groin injury to a speedster. I'll never forget that. This is 100 years ago. I'm playing at Indiana in the mid-80s, and I get a groin pull, and the doctor says, look, you're going to be fine to play here, but this is going to affect you forever. And it has. And for a speedy guy that relies on it, look, this isn't anything official. He is trying to play. He is a gamer guy, but I'll be surprised if he plays. I really will. Colts are 1-10 without him over the course of his career. Even though he's not having a great year, he is he gets the respect that a vertical threat gives you. So, you know, he's trying, but what I've been told is they would be surprised if he played. Doyle got his bell rung nice in the first half. I mean, it was I was surprised they didn't eject the player. I don't even think they called a penalty, but he has a concussion, and excuse me. In fact, I'm waiting for a friend of mine to let me know where he's at. Jack is one of those, you know, Jack's an old school tight end, right? If he can go, if let me put it to you this way, 5-6 years ago before, you know, CTE and the concussion protocol, Jack would be playing, but obviously everybody's far more careful, and it's a good thing. I think we're going to find out today whether Jack can go or not.
It's been such a tough week, especially in SEC country with all the games being postponed. And we know that as the passing weeks go by, it seems like it's getting tougher and tougher to avoid having an issue with the virus. What's your outlook right now, Dan, on college basketball? Do you think we can get the season in?
You know, it's funny. I just got a call yesterday from my boss at ESPN. I'm flying to South Dakota to do what used to be the Battle for Atlantis. And now, you know, it's called the crossover, but Memphis State's in it. So I was so happy when I heard that. You know what I mean? I mean, I was really happy. And then they said, hey, are you okay with flying? I go, man, you guys pay the bills. I'll do whatever you want. You know, I'll wear a mask. I'll wear a hazmat suit. I'll put my head up between my, I don't care. But I believe this is going to get started. And in South Dakota, they're planning on having fans. In fact, I don't think the governor there ever closed the state down. I could be wrong.
If there's a state that'll let you play, that would be the state for sure.
Yeah. So then they said, hey, look, we're going to probably send you to North Carolina for the Iowa, North Carolina Big Ten ACC Challenge. So my assumption is, you know, based on my phone call literally yesterday at this time of day, you know, we're going to at least get off and running. I know what happened with the SEC. In Big Ten country here, Wisconsin had to cancel two games because of COVID. You know, we'll see. Big SEC, I think, was far smarter. They started earlier and they put in a bye kind of a week or they stretched it out. Big Ten started later and, you know, basically said 8 games in 8 weeks. And now, you know, they've had some issues. So, hey, look, we don't give a rat's ass about any of it. Indiana is undefeated, baby. I don't care whether the SEC plays. I don't care whether Wisconsin plays. I need Indiana, Michigan State this weekend. That's what I need because we're a football state here, pal.
You're good to go. You got them, you're good to go.
I've never said that before in my life, but it felt kind of good.
Yeah.
We're talking to Dan Dockich, 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis. And Dan, we know the addition of DeForest Buckner, what that has done to the Colts defense, but somebody like Darius Leonard, how have you seen his game grow this year? I mean, we know 2018, just such a breakout year. Last year, 5 sacks. He's only got the 1 this year, but is he still that game disruptor that the Colts have hoped he could be?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Again, I go back to local versus national. I have a good friend, Rick Venturi. He's a 35-year NFL defensive coordinator, and he does the color for the Colts. And Rick, over the last couple of years, even though Darius Leonard had big numbers and even though Darius Leonard was, you know, a Pro Bowler, he's like, yeah, he can't play against the run. He gets tied up. His plays draw highlights. They don't draw consistency. And now Rick's like, look, this is a different player. And a little bit of it is, you know, there's two things. One, figuring it out. You know, NFL, it's hard to come in the NFL and all of a sudden, you know, do what that kid did and be perfect. The second thing is he got stronger. He sheds blocks better. He's more attuned to leverage and things like that. He's really good. And you know the greatest thing about the kid is, man, he is first team all energy. You know, I always said during my coaching career and even on TV, look, if you don't have enthusiasm, if you don't have energy, then you're an energy drainer, man. You're draining everybody. And he is an energy giver. He plays, and you'll see, he goes side to side. He handles blocks. He handles basically anything that's thrown at him, and he's fun to watch. He's one of those guys that you find yourself watching him. Like, you know, you just find yourself watching 53. In fact, I'll give you, you know, this is how beloved he is. My brother, who's older than me, this is a 60-year-old dude who makes a gazillion dollars. He's got, you know, a $250 million project going. It was nice at Indy Sunday. I said, hey, man, meet me at the golf course. We'll play 9 holes. He shows up in a Darius Leonard jersey. And I'm like, man, come on, you're sick. What are you doing? But he's kind of taken all of us by storm, Leonard has, this year in particular.
So one thing we've discussed here is how this team has kind of taken the head coach's personality. You know that Mike Vrabel is very aggressive and he's not afraid to try something, and that seems like that's kind of the personality of the team. Have you seen that with Frank Reich and this Colts team?
All right. Yes and no. Yes, and I think Vrabel's great, man. I think he's just absolutely freaking great. I love that guy. Our guy, and this is bad to say because, you know, there's dumb Frank and then there's smart Frank. Like, Frank Reich is a very cerebral guy. Like, he was going to be a pastor. He's a great dude. But, like, the other day, you know, they're down 11. They got the ball. It's fourth down. You know, chip shot field goal, make it a one-score game. Okay, he goes for it on fourth down, which why would you go for it? If you don't get it, you miss. But on top of that, with this line, they don't run it, and they roll out. I mean, Rivers is 106 years old. He can't roll out. Play gets blown up. And Frank will do stuff like that. But Frank isn't afraid. He is a lot like Vrabel. He's not afraid, man. He'll go for it on fourth down. He'll go for it on fourth down in his own territory. He goes by a lot of feel. When you think of, like, Vrabel, I think of tough and, you know, even though we're going to run the ball, even though he's a defensive guy and all that kind of stuff. When you think of Frank, you think of passing game and that kind of stuff. And that really hasn't evolved yet. But he has had injuries. He, you know, luck quitting on the team, you know, right before the season didn't help. But he's a very good coach. He just makes some decisions, and you're like, come on, man, you didn't need to do that. But, again, I'm sitting on my fat ass at home, and he's got to make the decision, so I get that. You know, I mean, what's easier than saying, oh, man. But, you know, again, I go back to the line, and I go back to not being able to run the ball. You guys, fourth down and an inch, let me close my eyes. You're giving the ball to Derrick Henry, and he's getting whatever he needs to get. Here, with this, you know, we got the world's greatest drafted a left guard sixth in the draft, for crying out loud, and everybody says he's the greatest guard in the history of the world. Well, they don't even run behind him. And that's a little disappointing sometimes, that kind of stuff.
Dan, leave us with this. You know, we saw this in our state here down the road, West Tennessee, Penny Hardaway. Boy, recruiting class comes in here, big name, tearing it up. And then, you know, things happen with getting in the big recruits. Next thing you know, kid's ineligible, kid can't play. Anybody waiting in the bushes up in Ann Arbor? Juwan Howard seems to be getting everybody going to Michigan. What's going on up there?
Juwan Howard's doing a hell of a job. I will say this. I don't know, but I know this, man. Juwan Howard, I've known that kid. He's the only kid in high school. Coach Knight and I went to his high school, CVS, Southside, which is really a tough area in Chicago and in the world. Man, my man came out and met us at the car, walked us into the school. Juwan Howard's a great dude, man. And I'll be honest, my son played at Michigan for Beeline, and Michigan's an easy sell, even for basketball. I mean, it just is. And Juwan, when you meet Juwan, you're like, man, that's a really good dude. like that's the kind of dude, you know, you just want to hang with. So he is getting it done, and we'll see what happens, because the Big Ten in basketball, at least this year, is absolutely loaded. But we'll see, you know. We'll see. But I can see guys wanting to go play for that guy.
Interesting.
Man. He's a good dude.
Did I see that right?
Hey,
number one recruiting class?
What's that?
Did I see that right? The number one recruiting class currently? Is that
so
right?
So far, yeah. But I you know what's going to happen. Calipari's going to figure this out. Kay will get somebody. You know, it'll go back to the usual suspects. Hey, I got to ask you a question. My daughter lives in Nashville. My wife and I are driving after my show. We're going to the game. What's the best way to get tickets to the game tomorrow night?
Ooh.
Oof.
They let people in, right?
Now,
I mean, StubHub is the best way, that kind of thing.
Well, I can tell
you,
now this is 2020, right, and there's less tickets out there. I have always felt, because they have not gone to a modern paperless system, that there have always been guys out there
everywhere
selling tickets everywhere. Now,
oh,
that's
really?
That's on your normal Sunday. Now, I haven't tried it this year with the reduced number, because they didn't even have fans the first home game. But traditionally, there's always a bunch of guys out there with tickets selling them on the,
like
on the
every
street,
corner,
and
there's no
restrictions for that. It never, never.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good, because Indiana has, you can scout as long as you're not 50 feet, you know, from the building or whatever, or a church. Hell, I don't know. Sometimes we act more religious than we are here. But
that has always been the best way, Dan. But
yeah.
as Willie said,
we got to put an asterisk.
2020 is a little different, so I'm not sure if it's the same setup this year, but I would go that route first.
That's what I'm doing. I'm getting in around 6 or 7, and I'm we're picking up my daughter. We're going straight there, and we're going to go do that. That's good information. Thank you.
And drop the line. Don't you know who I am? It always works.
Hey, you see my World Series ring?
Dan, always a pleasure. We know you got to get ready for your show. Thanks for doing this. Have fun at the game, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Very much. Have a great day.
All right, that is Dan Dockich, 107.5 The Fan up in Indianapolis, and his show starts in about 25 minutes, so we do appreciate him joining us. Good stuff.
Good stuff. I almost said talk to Tim Hasselbeck, but remember Tim bought, he paid like $100 a ticket for a preseason game, so he's not the guy to call. Remember he told the story? It's like, Tim, don't you know somebody that can get you a good deal for tickets for a preseason game? He said, yeah, I paid, We were like, we asked him, what'd you pay? He took his family, and he paid, regular price for good seats for a preseason game.
That was him saying, I don't want to put any effort or work into this. I'm just willing to do whatever, and let's just go. That's what you do, right?
Right. Shut the brain off.
If I don't want to go through all the layers of however to make this work, I'm just going to pay it and be done with it.
Now, I have never had trouble buying a ticket to a Titans game, unless it's like the Patriots in town or the Steelers, that's a different deal. And so I am curious. I just made me think about it. I hadn't, but I don't know what that's like now this year. I hope we didn't give Dan bad advice, but you guys would agree that on your run of the mill Titans game, you can buy a ticket off the street pretty easily.
Yeah. No question. That was the right advice. Just not sure if that's the lay of the land in today's landscape. I don't know. But none of us know, because none of us have tried that, or I haven't talked to anybody that has done that this season. So we'll just wait and see.
If we see Dan tomorrow night walking around outside the stadium in the second quarter, we're like, oh, man, we steered him wrong. We steered him wrong.
Let's wait a while before we ask him to come back on. Hopefully he'll have forgotten.
Sorry, Red Dad.
Hey, with this weekend's major golf tournament, along with pro and college football, there will be no shortage of action. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook, wants to put you in the center of it all. To celebrate Sunday's action, DraftKings is ensuring all new users, you will be covered up to $100. Yep, that's right. You bet. They cover you risk-free. Sunday betting on all of Sunday's action, DraftKings will have you covered up to $100. DraftKings has a special promotions and odds boosts every day of this year's tournament in Augusta, Georgia, which begins tomorrow. By the way, did anybody see the hole-in-one? We'll get to that after this. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code 1025GAME, and when you sign up, to ensure your Sunday bets up to $100, that code again, 1025GAME, during the sign-up for a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only, risk-free coverage paid out, and site credits, restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and you need help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.